Welcome to the Marketing for Business podcast. This is your host, Scott Wilson. Miranda Napton, welcome to the Marketing for Business podcast.
Thank you, Scott. Great to be here.
Oh, seriously, it's going to be an awesome chat. Look, I've known you for a while and I've followed your journey and some of the successes you've had, especially in that, I guess, the B&I space. And I'm really looking forward to talking about that. But let's start off. And like I was reading your LinkedIn profile the other day, and you're a case manager at ACC.
I was a case manager.
Tell me about that.
So before I was a case manager, I actually got back from traveling in the UK.
Yep.
I started through a temp agency for 6 weeks. As an administration assistant.
Yep.
And 6 years later, I left.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
Hard case.
No.
So did you like the environment? Is that why you stayed?
I really love the environment, actually. Yep. The it's a tough job.
Yep.
You're dealing with people and working with people who are in probably one of the worst circumstances of their life.
Yeah. You know,
they've had an injury. They've had their life altered in a drastic way.
Yeah.
But the people that work there are so kind and caring and supportive that I just loved being around that environment.
Because you'd have to have a level of empathy, wouldn't you, to work in that environment? Or, you know, because probably not great for me. I'd be probably too abrupt, but I can tell that you probably have that empathy, right?
Empathy is really key to it, actually. Understanding what that human is going through and how you can best support them within the parameters of being within ACC, is really key, really important.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's an easy job.
No.
But also, I didn't have a medical background either.
Yeah.
I think that also helped me just be really objective to deliver what we needed to deliver and support the people who were having these injuries.
So 6 years, and what did you do next?
Well, it was kind of in between. My husband and I launched a business.
Yep.
And I knew that I was always going to be a business owner.
Cool.
How did I know that? Yeah, let's go there.
Yeah, because really, I have a business, but I didn't really know I was going to be a business. My dad was a freezing worker, worked in the same job for 47 years.
Right.
Mum, you know, raised the kids.
Yep.
Owning a business was never, and like my uncles owned farms and stuff. But so I'm interested to hear that.
Yeah, so I was 10 years old and we moved from a tin pot town called Greenbushes, Western Australia.
Cool.
Mining, milling and farming. My dad was a miner and he was the son of a farmer. And he bought a business. My parents bought a business and we moved from there to a place called Bunbury. And I thought they ruined my life. Honestly, this 10-year-old Miranda, I never forgive
them. Oh, I can imagine.
But what that taught me was I literally had to answer the phone, "Good morning, Western All Pest Services."
Oh, wow.
Because the office was at home.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to say Miranda speaking because I sounded so much like my mother that people would just start talking the business to me.
Really?
So I had to get very good and very quick at speaking well to whoever was calling my phone, whoever was calling my house. And because the office was there and all of the employees would come over and things like that, I just saw how dad would work with them and how mum would operate amongst them and just understand how you had to have conversations from a really
young
age.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like learning, like, and that you've learned from like being around that environment, right?
Yeah.
What was, like, did you get paid?
Not at all. Actually, I think there was some tax write-off that we could get paid at the time. So I remember signing something.
And sorry, what sort of business was it again?
Originally, it started off as just a pest control company.
Yep.
So in Australia, lots of bugs, heaps of bugs. So that kept Dad really, really busy.
Cool.
It was residential just to start with, and then it became much wider as well because of his farming contacts as well. So, yeah.
High case. Yeah. So how long did you stay doing that for? Till you left home?
Till I left home, yeah. The business, that phone call would come to the house till I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And then I flew to London. I moved from home to London.
Brilliant.
And I haven't quite made it back yet, Scott.
Oh, is that right?
No, I haven't, yeah. I stopped in New Zealand for a couple of years and 18 years later, we're still here. So
oh, wow.
Any day now, probably.
Is a business still around? Like in?
So it turned, it morphed. They ran a storage business as well and removal business. They ran them both at the same time. Then they sold off Western All Pest Services and my dad's just retired in the last couple of years. So
what a great story. And obviously, you know, like, so you would have learnt things along the way. What were some of the big takeaways there that you learnt from your dad? Like,
I think customer service is key.
Yep.
That maybe the customer's not always right.
Yeah.
But being a good human to them
yeah.
is going to get you a lot further than being right.
Being right.
Yeah.
You've kind of gone to like look at the bigger picture, right? And 100%. Go, you know what? This person believes they're what they're believing. So
yes.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
Customer
Absolutely.
Service, nice.
Customer service, definitely. And I think that it's okay to not be okay.
Yep.
That it's not all beer and Skittles. Building a business,
yeah,
running it with your spouse because mum and dad were in the business together,
yeah.
But that's okay, and if you keep communication going,
yeah,
it can be okay,
yeah.
So
yeah, so that's an interesting point, right? It's okay not to be okay. It's okay it's okay to have down times or to have some points where you're a bit down and stuff. You know, I always tell my team, hey, look, if stuff goes wrong, you know, like go and have a moment.
Yeah.
Go and have that moment. Yes. Give yourself that moment, because if you don't let energy out, it's going to hang around and it's going to affect everyone else and it's going to keep affecting you. So, absolutely. You know, and noticing that is really key. And then, okay, go and have your moment, then come back. What'd you learn? What can we do better? That's a great takeaway. Thanks Definitely. For sharing that. Yeah. Like, that's a really strong point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Doesn't mean that I remember, retain and act on that every single time.
No.
But when you can zoom out a little bit and go, yeah, actually, I'm not okay right now.
Yeah.
I need to sort this.
How was the dynamic of your mum and dad in that business? Were they friends in the business, or did they butt heads, or?
So my mum was a reluctant business owner.
Yeah.
And she's very happy to share that.
Yeah.
She prefers employment where she knows that paycheck is coming in.
Yep.
And my dad, possibly like myself, and I know he'd be okay if I say this, is probably unemployable. Yeah. You know, hey. He likes running his own cutter.
Yeah.
He likes the freedom and ability to do what he wants to within his own empire.
Nice. That's very cool.
And so they worked well together until they didn't.
Yeah.
They split when they raised their three children.
Yep.
Dad continued on with the business and mum happily went into employment.
Nice, nice. Oh, plenty of strengths, right?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. What else did you learn from your dad or your parents at that time?
I think I learned. So let's go back before I was 10, before they had the business, this tin pot town that I lived in, there was the top pub and the bottom pub.
Yep.
And they were always run by partners, and whether it was husband and wife or two men usually.
Yep.
I remember a lovely couple from when I was very young, maybe sort of 5 or 6. They had some older sons and they were just lovely. They were kind of on my radar, but I remember them having fights, and I remember them screaming and yelling and ranting and raving at each other. And then, you know, the pub kind of became part of their demise in their relationship. And I really took that away with me. And so fast forward to a conversation we'll be having shortly around my choice to leave the business that I started with my husband. It was because I chose my husband first.
Yes.
So, no disrespect to the business, but I choose this relationship first.
Interesting that you saw that, like, and you could come back to that at, you know, at a later date as well, because like a lot of times we see things, we're not sure how they will play out and how they will affect us later on, right?
100%.
But it has, and you made a better choice because of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, there's a great saying, some people are either warnings in your life or beacons for where you should go, right? Mm. And I always look at the warnings. There's a warning right in front of you there. You can see that person is, you know, what they've done compared to someone else who's, you know, leading the way for you.
Yes.
That's awesome. So you ACC, you've left there. Did you start the business with your husband from there? Like what?
Yeah, started the business with my husband. I came in as the, you know, ubiquitous builder's wife who did the books.
Nice.
Now,
okay.
I'm going to say, unfortunately, I was heavily pregnant when I was trying to learn MYOB for the first time. I'm not a natural numbers person. I'm a systems and processes marketing type person.
Yeah, nice.
So I was playing not to my strength here.
Yep.
But the numbers needed to be done because I'd seen enough tradies walk into ACC with a shoebox full of receipts and we can't pay them because they don't have a business. They don't pay GST. They don't have accounts.
Yeah.
So I knew that I didn't want Michael to be that builder.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I'll set up MYOB. It'll be fine. Apparently at 36 weeks pregnant, it's not fine. You don't retain things.
Oh, wow.
But we got it set up. I had great support around me.
Yeah.
And after we'd had our first son, I went back to ACC.
Oh, cool.
So, and doing the accounts at night.
Yep.
Let's just say I donated a lot of money to the IRD
over
that time period.
Oh, no.
Because it just didn't make sense to me. And what I realized was that another quick lesson, it took me a week, a month to do the accounts. Now, this was not a big business.
Yeah.
There was probably three builders for us working for us at this time, X amount of suppliers and whatnot. It would take me about a week, a month to do this. When I hired the first administrator we had, it took me 6 hours.
Yeah. Look, I've got a similar story. And when I first started my business, I was using the accountant would send me a thing called bank file or something like that. And it was, I'd just be pulling my hair out, like just trying to get this thing sorted. And then I remember just someone just saying to me, hey, I heard them say, oh, employ your weakness. And I was like, oh, that's a weakness. So cool. I found someone and I don't think I've ever touched them again. I'm a bookkeeper and an accountant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the thing, the time that you save and the stress that you, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. So then fast forward, got pregnant with our second child. And decided before he came along that I was probably no longer going to be an ACC.
Yep.
And went to, had already hired someone by then, so took some time out to, you know, look after young Spencer, who is a delightful young man. And I took some time and then came back as a project manager.
Nice.
And really wanted to understand that whole process of building from beginning to end to work out what we could do better in our business.
So when did you start the building business? When
that was 2008.
Oh, wow. So pre-earthquakes.
Pre-earthquakes.
Just as the GFC.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I remember the time well.
Yes. And we have, there's one of the local group housing companies here, Mike Greer.
Yep.
I think we actually helped them employ their second or third project manager.
Oh, wow.
So it was a very long time ago. They're a huge
organisation.
Yeah, they are. So we were with them for a really long time and we did labour-only supply with them. It was about 2015, we worked out that we didn't want to work in that environment anymore. That's not the empire we wanted to run. It was post-earthquake. There was a lot of urgency. There was a lot of mistakes happening. And, you know, we'd literally have clients coming to the building sites crying to our apprentices because things weren't going right and they couldn't talk to their project manager. Oh. And it wasn't just, you know, careers. It was just, this was a problem across the...
The whole Christchurch was in a state of flux, right?
Absolutely.
Like there was just so much going on. And there was people from all over the country working down here too.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. It was a calamitous time to be. So we decided we did.
Like the Wild West, to be fair.
100%. You know, I hear stories about the, you know, the gold mining days and, you know, the gold. And it kind of felt like
it did feel like that. I remember that we were getting a job done at our house and the neighbor next door had some people from like Rotorua and stuff.
Mm.
And like they came over and, you know, we're looking at the work we were doing and offered us, you know, we'll do a better job and just give us a box. And I was like, no.
Yeah. There was definitely that.
Yeah.
So we decided then that we didn't want that path, I suppose. We sat down and we sat with, you know, the four quadrants of where we were in the business space and in the building space. And we decided, we worked out we were kind of down here in the bottom quadrant, bottom left, and we wanted to be up in the top right.
Nice.
Not at the top of the top right. We didn't want to, you know, but that's what our goal was.
So you made that conscious decision. You sat down and gone, hey, we're in this direction right now. We're labor only. We're getting all the bits and pieces handed to us. We've got no control.
Yep.
And you wanted to be over here doing your own construction.
Own construction.
For clients.
Not high end, so not your...
Yep.
We used to talk in $1 million plus, but it's now probably $2 million plus.
Yep.
We didn't want to play in that space.
Yep.
We didn't feel that that's where our skills were best matched, but we wanted to build projects.
Brilliant.
Yes.
And so how long did it take you to transition from that lower quarter to the where you wanted to go?
Yeah, so we definitely hit it in 2016.
Cool.
Late 2016.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty quick. We knew we had the projects lining up. So we spent 2016 moving towards those projects and moving away from labour only.
Yeah.
And in 2017, we had our worst business year ever.
Oh, wow.
I feel like we were back in that new business space again.
Yeah. Explain worst, though. Like, was it...
Probably financially.
Financially.
Yeah,
but sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. And we know that now.
Yeah.
At the time, we didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, but in 2018, we had our best year ever.
There you go.
And then in 2019, we doubled 2018.
Boom.
In 2020, we were projected to double 2019. But COVID, she wrote.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Well, no one picked that.
No one. So we went, We just went from strength to strength, and we've continued to grow.
But from there, like we, it sounds like you're an obviously you were improving in systems
yes.
all through that business.
Yes.
You know, you were starting to get better at the systems, and I've seen, you know, good businesses over time. Once they build those systems, they get on top of the systems. They definitely go faster, go freer. You know, we've done that in our business. Yeah. We've employed someone to help us on our process systems, and we've gone, we're going faster and faster because of that. Is
Absolutely.
That what happened in?
Yeah. There's a saying that I can't ever quite get right. It's something about, you know, slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yep.
I think it goes.
Okay.
And I really feel like that is that played to nice. What we were doing. We were really slowing down
yeah.
to work out who we were and what we were doing.
Yeah.
And then we're able to speed that up.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the point of
Was that because like you made those decisions because you had some goals that you wanted to achieve? Were you both goal focused on what you wanted to achieve? Because or you just to sit down and go, hey, we're sick of this, we want this.
Yeah,
here's where we're going.
We wanted to create a better process for clients.
Yep.
You know, everyone had their own process.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you look on an architect's website, they'll say this is the process, but really that's about the parts that they touch. If you look on a builder's website, they'll talk about the process, but really that's the part that they touch.
Yeah.
But you're a whole human who goes from I have an idea of wanting to build a house to I'm moving in, it's handover day.
Yeah.
Who's going to help navigate that for you the whole way?
Cool.
And we really wanted to be that trusted advisor for those people that wanted to build in that space that we wanted to, whether it was dollars or whether it was style of home or whether it was whatever that kind of was, we wanted to really support them through that.
Nice. So you started with a customer in mind first or client in mind first and built back from there.
That's built back from there,
very,
absolutely.
Very smart. Because,
so the process on the Blue Summit website sort of looks very different to your average builder or your average architect because we combine the two and we combine the engineering and we combine all the things that Scott, the client, needs along that way.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And so did you, like obviously you don't work in that business from a day-to-day perspective.
No, are
you,
not day-to-day.
Yeah.
Yep. So now I'm a business coach.
Oh, cool.
A business and team coach.
Yep.
So late 2020, I was after several lockdowns and many, many, many weeks of, you know, being a homeschool teacher, working mum, sane wife, sane human type.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of got to about August, September and went, actually, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I spoke to Michael about it. We have a great working relationship. And I said, I just don't want to do this anymore. Mm. I don't want to. I'm just not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, that's part of what I loved about my job is that I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And if I didn't enjoy it, well, like maybe I couldn't do it as well.
Yeah.
And I would be doing a disservice to the clients.
And how did that conversation go? Like, was he?
Well, he did say, well, what do you want to do, Miranda?
Yeah.
And I said, it's a very good question, Michael. Yeah. So I really didn't know at that point.
Mm.
Fast forward another couple of months and I was talking to a woman that was helping with us with our marketing at the time. She was just giving us some scaffolding.
Yep.
And she said, Miranda, do more of what you love and more of what you're good at.
Yeah.
Which set me down another little rabbit hole, which led me back to when I was 12 years old, I used to coach kids' sport.
Cool.
I coached hockey and basketball because I was an umpire for both of those sports.
Yep.
I played to a decent level.
Yeah.
And I really loved that model.
Did you find it quite natural?
Really natural. Yeah.
That's very cool.
And I loved that little Jimmy didn't know how to bounce the basketball at the beginning of the season. Yet at the end of the season, little Jimmy could not only bounce the ball, he'd catch the ball, he'd do a layup and he'd get a goal.
Yeah.
Well, that made little Jimmy feel good. His parents feel great.
So good.
But also it's all the other stuff off the basketball court that little Jimmy gets out of that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm a massive believer in that. I coach my son's cricket team and kids and I just really see those little things you get them to work on and you just see the self-confidence come up. And I think, you know, like I look at what I do in business, one of my roles is to give people confidence. And I think that's, you know, if you can give someone confidence, you know, they've got their own natural ability to then move forward with a bit more. They know someone's in the corner, you know, and I think that's a beautiful thing about a business coach is you're in someone's corner.
Yes.
You know, we look at it even from our agency's perspective. We are in someone's corner. You know, they see us as their marketing partner.
Yes.
They can rely on us, you know, and I think that's a really big thing. All the best businesses I know have coaches. All the best sports people I know have coaches, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so yeah, that's cool. So you went out, you've gone on your own?
Out of my own.
Yeah.
That's been a process in itself.
Yeah.
You know, there's I think there was something to hide behind,
yep,
you know, with Blue Summit.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the building or the logo or the brand. Yep. It wasn't my name.
Yeah.
So my coaching business name is my name.
Yeah, nice.
I haven't called it anything else.
That's cool.
And I know that will serve me in the future for what I'd like to do.
Yeah. And build your personal brand on that, right?
Build my personal brand on that.
Very cool.
What is building personal brand as well? You know, I had to dive into that because I haven't, you know, we didn't do that in Blue Summit.
No.
So
what have you learned there? Like, let's unpack that. What have you learned there? Because that's, you know, a lot of people will be going, hey, well, what is a personal brand and how do you build a personal brand?
Yeah.
So you've, you know, from the ground zero, what have you been starting to do?
I think that's a really good question, Scott. I ran into imposter syndrome really quickly.
Yep.
And the best piece of advice I heard on imposter syndrome was from Jay Shetty.
Yep.
And I can't remember if it was him or one of his one of the people he was interviewing, but one of them said, I get imposter syndrome, and I was gobsmacked that either of these two amazing people would get that. When I'm on the right track, when I know that I'm on the right track, and maybe I just don't know enough yet. Mm. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I just thought, actually, that's really amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how I felt starting this business that had my name on it with my skills and, you know, and my advice that was going to support these people who I would be coaching. So imposter syndrome was one that I had to get over really quickly. I don't love that term either, but it is it was like a brick wall that I ran into.
I think that, you know, a lot of people get that. Well, I think everyone gets that, you know, and that's why they would have said it, right? Because any one time, you know, you do get yourself into a situation, you're like, oh, I don't know that, right? But I think the coolest thing you can say today is, hey, actually, I don't know that. I'll find out for you.
Yes.
And I think you have to know your strengths. And that when I look at even like building a personal brand, I go back to what are your core values?
Yes.
You know, what are the values that you share that you actually want to go out and see in the world?
Yeah.
That you could share, you know? So one of mine is influence for education. That's why we do the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I want to influence people on the value that we bring to the market before they give us any money.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll share information before, you know, like we'll give as much insights as we can, you know. And I think the coolest thing you can do from that, especially when you're building a personal brand, is just share from experience.
Yes.
Share from what you do. Like you definitely, you'll see when people are talking out there, especially, you know, building their personal brands and stuff, you'll hear people say stuff that you know they haven't done,
you know?
And so when you can relate to stuff that you've done, it makes it so much better.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can tell and share stories and insights, you know, you build your brand a lot faster.
And I think, I think you're absolutely right, Scott. I think sticking with your strengths.
Yeah.
What do you know best?
What do you know best?
I would never say to someone, right, I'm going to teach you your numbers.
Yeah. No, me neither.
I will teach you how to pay the IRD a lot of money is all I could do in that space.
Yeah.
But I can also, but I know systems and processes.
Yeah.
So I can help you understand your numbers and I can help you understand those management reports that you get because that's what I did and that's what I know and that's how I grew.
There's so much value in that.
100%. Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So much value in that. So so that's really cool. You actually do have a framework for your personal brand, which is
cool. Absolutely, yeah. One of the most confronting pieces of this process was when I got my friend Natasha Woods from Soda Lab to design my logo.
Yep.
And we were going to have a meeting about several agenda items, and we only got to that one, her showing me the brand, because I was so floored by it, and I had to reflect on how she saw me.
Cool.
And basically my logo is my name, my name, but it's in the M in the upstroke of the first upstroke. There's a star.
Cool.
And she kind of got to that because I help people find their North Star.
Cool.
Which is really cool. And when I look at the testimonials that I'd had and I'd sent her those so she could kind of get a broader understanding. It floored me. It actually floored me.
Just for people listening, because some people won't know what the North Star is, like explain that, unpack that, because there'll be people watching this going, hey, probably should talk to Miranda.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes back to your values and who you are and then how to best find your direction moving forward and really living that direction.
Mm.
Because like you were saying before, Scott, it's about not being someone else, it's about being you and leaning to those strengths.
Yeah.
There's plenty of ways to find your North Star.
Yeah, so leaning into your strengths.
Yes.
And like that might be stuff that just comes easy to you.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And then leaning into those things. So when someone says to you, hey, you always do this really, really well, or you're doing something, you find it we all know when we do stuff what's easy and what's not, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, like editing video, I'm just crap at it. But I've got a young lady in my office, young girl, Olivia. She showed me some stuff this morning. I said, how long did it take you to do that? She goes, oh, that was about 3 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God, that would take me.
Yes.
Like hours. Hours, yeah, and not even as
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think you're right. And it's, I think you're definitely right, Scott. Yeah.
Very cool. So, okay, so business coaching.
Yes.
I want to talk about a little bit more, and one of the reasons I wanted to get you on today as well, we'll talk about a wee bit more about business coaching soon as well, especially from the mindset's perspective. But I wanted to talk about BNI, because you're a director in BNI. Firstly, let's explain what BNI is.
Yes.
And I've got a bit of experience because I was in BNI for a number of years, but I'm really keen to talk to you about, because I think we're in a point of time where it's getting harder for people, inflation, interest rates, business owners struggling a wee bit, people working inside businesses struggling a wee bit. So BNI, I find, is a great network to be around to actually, you know, you got to get around good people in times like this. So let's talk about BNI. Firstly, what is BNI?
Yeah, so BNI's vision is BNI is the most successful organization, referral networking organization in the world.
And BNI stands for?
Business Network International.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. But they love an acronym, so I'll turn everything into an acronym. It's great.
Yeah.
They have currently 299,000 members across the world. 10,945 chapters, and a chapter is a group of professionals that meet once a week.
Yep.
Now, in that group, they'll only ever have one professional represented in each group.
Yep. So one lawyer, one accountant, one...
Yes. There is a slight caveat there in that you could have seven lawyers in there.
Oh, really?
Given that they could represent
different.
Their own individual classification.
Yep. Cool.
So you'd have one employment lawyer and one commercial lawyer. And
nice. And seven lawyers in a group would be
seven
a bit
lawyers
much.
In a group. There is a group in New York, and they have seven lawyers. And
one
of them calls himself the Rainmaker because his classification is so niche that he gives all other law referrals away to all of the others in his group.
How good?
Yeah, really good.
Nice.
So I'm a director consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a director consultant since 2018.
Yep.
I was a member before that.
Yep.
I was a member for 5 years in the building business.
Yep.
Representing the builder. And I'm now also, so a director consultant, Scott, looks after the group.
Okay.
They visit once a month. They support the leadership team to understand what...
Yep.
BNI, the rules of BNI, but also how best to work and support their own members as well, and grow and thrive. And there's a lot of information in BNI that for a leadership team who's going to be in place for 6 months, it's too much for them to learn everything. But where there is a guide to support them.
So one of the key things I see with BNI and saw it when I was there, when I came out of my first business, starting my second, is the structure was very clear. And you start at 7, finish at 8:30, and you've actually got through a lot. You know, like the structure, the process.
Yes.
Very, very smart from a networking perspective. No fluff.
No.
If you want to get there beforehand, you can have a chat and all that sort of stuff. But it's very process driven. Do you reckon that's one of the reasons why it's so successful?
I think it is. I think there's a couple of elements in there. I believe that BNI is supportive of all types of people.
Yep.
Now, Scott, I and possibly yourself could, you know, we'll talk to anyone, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
But not everyone's like that.
No.
And some of the best networkers are not extroverts like us. They're actually introverts.
Yeah.
And they do the best networking.
one of the greatest things I ever saw in a BNI group was we had an electrician, and he just couldn't stand up and speak.
Mm-hmm.
So he left.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy came in, Scott, and he had a stutter.
Yeah,
Had a stutter, but he just got through. You know, got through it. Got better and better and better. Was real open about his stutter. What a legend of a guy! I think it was like 3 years later he won a business award, Westpac Business Award, and part of that was because he went to BNI.
Mm.
He stayed in the queue.
Yeah.
He got better at speaking. He didn't give up. And he got all these referrals.
Yeah.
Because like a trade in BNI, like you get a lot of referrals.
Do,
And I just always remember the guy I don't remember who the other guy was because he quit and left.
Yeah,
but I remember Scott, he stayed in the queue and he didn't let his has what could be seen as, you know, something that would get in the way, and you know, would probably get in the way of most people. He was just, you know, committed to it. And then winning an award, like how good was that?
Absolutely.
But Ben and I was very supportive. You know, the group around were very supportive as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Those stories, Scott, are just, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I really love watching that journey. I've seen so many people join BNI for X reason, fill in the blank. Excuse me, they're joining for referrals or they're joining to improve their public speaking or, and 6, 12, 18 months later, they've got so much more than what they originally joined for. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing to watch.
And you get that from turning up.
You get that from showing up.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, and look, I don't mean just being in the room.
No.
You know, some people will come in and they'll sit on their phone and they'll, you know, but actually being present.
Present.
Being there and available.
Yeah.
But the meeting structure that you talk about, it's almost kind of your team meeting.
Yeah.
You know, sales team meeting, say. And you're reporting in what you've done for the week.
It's a great way to think of it.
Rather than your networking. Your networking happens outside of that 90-minute meeting.
You have a dance.
Yeah, you have a dance.
No, I always thought that was funny. Yeah.
They don't call them dances anymore.
Oh, really?
Got rid of that word.
Oh,
no. They call it one-to-one now.
Oh, classic.
Which is, I think dance was very American. So, they moved that on.
That was always quite strange.
Yeah, it was you know, one of those BNI-isms. Yeah. But you have a one-to-one with people outside of that meeting to get to really understand them.
Because look, end of the day, people, I just say this all the time, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And,
absolutely.
You know, you've got to build that up. It just doesn't happen, you know, straight away.
Absolutely. So, as the builder in the group, Scott, it was 18 months until I got my first full referral.
Wow.
And at the end of the first 12 months, I said, okay, I want to give a referral. I want to receive a referral. That's my goal this year.
Yeah.
And I said to everyone in the room, what do I need to tell you? What do you want to know? What do you want to understand about Blue Summit and myself and Michael that would help you refer us?
Oh.
And so I put some post-it notes out on the table in front of them, and that was my, you'd do a weekly presentation, which is 60 seconds. They had 45 seconds to write some notes for me.
Cool.
I collected that up. That was my presentations for the next however long. And that year we got 4 full referrals.
How good is that?
Yeah.
So that's being prepared to learn and listen, right?
100%.
Oh, I say this all the time. So many people I meet, they're listening to reply versus listening to understand.
Yeah.
Like, that's a powerful way to do it. Like, if you're listening to this, you've just watched that. That's something that you should just go and do in your own business. Go, and I always say to this to people all the time, if your sales aren't going that well, go talk to 10 people and listen. 10 people that can and should or could buy your product, and just go and listen. You know, that's a very powerful thing, because you learn what your sales team wanted from you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So then you start delivering to the sales team
what they needed.
And
absolutely.
And I got a saying, well, I don't have, this is not my saying, but success leaves clues, right? That is that is huge, you know. Mm. Very cool.
Yeah.
So BNI, like, what do you think makes a successful group? When I was in there, I saw it was, you know, leadership generally made the best group. Mm-hmm. You have strong leaders, but what's your, you know, you've been around it a lot more than I have.
Absolutely. So as a direct consultant, you only have so much influence.
Yep.
So it's working with the people in the room.
Yep.
And I think I believe that the best groups are those that invest in each other.
Yep.
And one of BNI's core values is giver's gain.
Yeah.
So they show up to give without the expectation to receive. And again, if I go to that first year, first 18 months, I gave over $100,000 worth of business to other members.
Yep.
And I didn't get that back from them, but I got it back from others. So if I was out there to give, and it's that, you know, 100, 150,000, I was so proud of that.
Yeah, totally.
That changed someone's business. One of them was an $80,000 referral.
Wow.
And that changed her business.
How good is that?
It was, So I'm the person that claps and gets excited for those sorts of things. So I think, one of the groups, I've now launched 4 new groups here in the Canterbury region.
Yep.
Over the last 2 years, which is fun in itself.
Yeah,
I really enjoy meeting lots of people and, you know.
So how do you do that? Like, do you just all right, I'm going to start another group and, you know,
yeah,
pick a venue and
pretty much
find some people?
Pretty much, yeah. The first one started, and the first one started because I wanted to do more.
Yep.
And I thought that there was more space in Christchurch for more groups.
Yeah.
What happened was there was equal amount of those individual professionals,
yep,
double ups. So okay, I turned them into two groups.
Nice.
And they kept growing at the same pace.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like choosing your favorite twin to kind of, you know, not focus on them. So I just let them both naturally grow. And we launched at 17, 18, 19 members, I think, each. And watching them invest in each other was one of the most amazing things that I got to see.
That's awesome.
That one of the groups, B&I Boost, they meet on a Wednesday morning. They are either new to business or new to their career because of age,
yep,
or new to their career because of a change. Think former airline pilot, now risk insurance
pilot. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they have this real
common.
Yeah, common absolutely. Bond, right? Common bond that they're working through together.
Going through things together. Absolutely. So yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. So they've kind of bound together. One of the groups who they will turn 20 this year, the advocates, more than half of the members have been there for 10 years or more.
Wow.
So they were B&I Boost many years ago,
and
they have this real bond with each other as well, and a real investment in supporting one another.
You can imagine what the relationships are like after 10 years, right?
Absolutely.
Trust is there, you know, like, they probably know each other's families to some degree,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. It's, you know, there's the husbands and wives that are a part of that extended family, but also life happens in those times.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of support around marriage breakdowns, around children and challenges there, around business failures and successes.
Yeah.
There is all that life stuff that happens, as well as expanding your network.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to watch.
Networking, as you said, it's quite an interesting thing. What do you think makes for a good networker? Like, because you know, there's like introverts, there's people like me, I'll talk to anyone. What makes a great networker?
That is a really interesting question, and one that's taken me an evolution, I suppose, to work through. And I boil it down to this. If you're going into a networking event, be interested, not interesting.
Oh, I love that. I say that all the time.
Because how many people do we know, and maybe this is why networking has a bit of a dirty name from time to time, how many people do we know that walk into an event and they're dishing out their cards and they're speaking the loudest and they, you know, they want everyone to listen to them or they're trying to sell you something.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. But actually, I've adjusted this in myself in the last probably 2 to 3 years. And if I walk out of an event having had good, deep, meaningful conversations with 2 to 3 people in a 100-person event, I feel more satiated with that now than
dishing
out the cards or seeing everyone or feeling like I need to talk to everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see the same playing out. Like if you look at LinkedIn as a platform, I say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, look for depth in connection, not width in connection.
Yes.
You know, like make connections with 3 or 4 people and be interested in them, you know, versus interested versus trying to be interesting is a real good one. You can spot people a mile away who are trying to be interesting.
Absolutely.
You know, and
Look at me.
And you see them at those meetings too, right? And that's probably why some people don't go to them. So, okay, so that's a great tip.
For an introvert, we'll go back to that structure of B&I. I know there's a wonderful woman who was in my original group that I was a member of, and she said, Miranda, I'm an introvert, and I never would have come to B&I if I couldn't have visited more than the 2 times that B&I allows.
True.
So it took me 3 or 4.
Yep.
And she said, but I know what I'm walking into every time.
Yeah.
And there is some security and safety in there for me.
Yes.
Even when it's a social event or a social function, which we have outside of those 90-minute meetings, she said, I now know the people that are going to be there. And as long as I enjoy the thing that we're doing, bowling or Lord Bowls or, you know, mountain biking or whatever that is, then I'll go, and I'm quite comfortable with that.
Yeah,
because of her introverted nature.
That's awesome. That like from a, you know, it provides an opportunity for everyone. You know,
absolutely, absolutely.
Because if that wasn't there, the lady wouldn't be doing it, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. And she was a 9-10 year member.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually quite powerful.
One of the most interesting things, and it probably helped shape when I was going to B&I, was your 60 seconds. So you get to stand up and talk for 60 seconds. Now, for loads of people, like this is the thing that like you can see them just go red, you know, but they're there. What do you think makes a good 60 seconds?
Yeah. So a really good 60 seconds is saying less, not more. And it's boiled down to 5 elements.
Cool.
So And I always imagine it, you've got, and we don't have too many high rises here in New Zealand, but literally if you were in an elevator with your ideal client and you're going to the top floor with them, you've got that much time to capture their attention. Yeah. So a good 60 seconds is five elements. You say your name and your business name, where they can find you, and maybe this wouldn't translate to the elevator, I don't know.
Yep.
You introduce one point about your business, whether it's an avatar, whether it is a service that you sell, whether it is a talk about your ideal client. You introduce that element.
Nice.
You tell a story about that element.
Yeah.
And that story piece is probably your biggest chunk of your 60 seconds. So it might be 30 to 35 seconds. And you're telling a story about the thing that you introduced. And you're asking for a specific referral for it. You're being really specific.
Yep.
So for example, say I was talking about my ideal client.
Yep.
I'm looking to get in front of digital marketing agencies.
Yep.
So, and I'm talking to my extended sales. So if you know someone in the digital marketing space who I can get in touch with, I'd love to have a conversation with them to see if my services can help them.
I always remember the people that were the most specific would get the best referrals.
Because, funny that.
Because the brain, it's like the brain just goes, oh, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, cool. I'll be on the lookout for that all week. Or actually, I already know three people that you should talk to.
Absolutely.
Because you're really specific.
Definitely.
So being specific, because, the cool thing about it, obviously, givers gain. People want to give. They want to give referrals.
People want to help people.
Yeah.
So then you finish with your name and your tagline or something there. But let's go back to that point. There's another Scott that we both know, Scott Auckland.
Yep.
And he was in the group with me. Now, Scott and I had been friends for years.
Yep.
And he stood up one time and he said, I do, my company prints the real estate agent signs for most of the companies across Christchurch, except for Bayleys.
Nice.
I would like to meet someone in Bayleys who is a key decision maker. And he mentioned a couple of names. And I never considered that Scott didn't print the Bayley signs.
Oh,
I never thought of that.
Yeah,
I'd known him for years and we talked. And within a couple of months, the new real estate agent at the table was from Bayleys Canterbury.
Cool.
So we were able to kind of break that. But being really specific meant that I went, who do I know?
Who do I know?
How can I introduce? Yep. And I thought that that was very powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah. And like it gets missed a lot.
Yes.
Even in marketing, being specific gets missed a lot.
Absolutely.
And I think that's...
Ask. It's okay to ask.
Yeah.
It's okay to ask.
Let's talk about marketing for a second. What have you seen, you know, over the years in business, how have you seen marketing change? What's some of the things that you would look at and go, wow, this is different?
Definitely. Look, I think the move from paper to digital has been, an absolute game changer. I think we did a few letterbox drops, you know, back in the early days of Blue Summit, to zero success, but that's okay. I think sometimes less is more as well. So maybe it doesn't need to be a huge two-page spread in the newspaper or, billboards across different websites, but maybe just a small continuity of continual impressions.
Yeah.
So whether that is across a range, so whether it is we have these wonderful Blue Summit pens, I don't have one here right with me, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're like Tic Tacs. They're just everywhere right now. And I think it's just that little reminder that goes with the vehicles, that goes with what we're doing on our social media, that goes with, I think there used to be, okay, I will do one thing and that will get me what I need to. And whether that is radio or television or that'll be fine. And now it's how best do I combine all of the elements?
Yeah.
And that's where people come a little bit unstuck, I believe.
Yeah, totally.
Because there's so much to know.
Well,
and how do you combine them? And what is the perfect formula?
I remember we're talking to one of our clients, been with them for nearly 8 years, and they first started out their business journey and advertising on TV. There was two TV channels.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he said they got really confusing because TV3 came along.
Right.
And I was like, where do we spend our money now? And we were laughing about, where do you spend your money now? It's like you could spend it everywhere, right?
Yes.
I think though a lot of people go to where marketing is probably going wrong is people going to the tactics first versus understanding the strategy.
Absolutely.
So they get lost and they don't win because they don't have that strategy defined. When they try tactics and then things aren't working, they don't know what lever to pull back.
So, and I think that's where, the likes of yourself, and I know you're very honest with your clients, you know, about what you do and what you don't do, but also how you fit within that marketing puzzle as well, because of understanding that strategy. You know, yes, we can sign right a vehicle, but what does that mean, and what's it fitting with, and why are you doing that?
Exactly.
Yeah. What is that bigger ask that you're after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of my core pillars of what I talk about is consistency message plus frequency of reach to create relevancy. Yes. You know, you must have a consistent message. And I see this time and time again, people don't have a consistent message. And then they don't have that frequency of reach with their ideal target market. So they never get known. They never get enough impressions, you know, to actually get known. The coolest thing about marketing today, you know, you can advertise to your ideal target market in a heartbeat, you know, and have an ad running to males between the age of 18 and 55 who like hunting and fishing, drive a Ford, like utes and stuff like that. And you could be selling ute finance and do 12 in 12 months do over $1 million.
Yes.
That's a real life example of one of our clients, you know, and it's because consistency, message, frequency, reach becomes relevancy to that just small target market.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's the opportunity for marketing today as well. And I think, you know, you've got down consistency there. I think the consistency is, so if you want to grow your market share, you have to grow the people's mind share, and you can only do that by being consistent.
Yeah. Seth Godin talks about the smallest viable audience.
Yeah.
You know, who is that? We talk about being the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
But the world is not, you know, global. The world is it the four avenues of Christchurch or is it New Zealand, you know?
Yeah.
Really concentrate in those spaces for that smallest viable audience, like you just described, age, you know, stage, all those psychographics.
It's all there. Like if you told me 10 years ago, I could target an audience, go live on a using a phone and, you know, probably have business that afternoon because of it.
Right.
You know, it doesn't sound real,
right?
It's
absolutely madness.
Yeah, but it's happening.
Yeah. The thing, Scott, that I find with, let's just tie this back into B&I, is I started B&I without knowing these things.
Yeah.
That I walked in ready for more work, but not ready to grow an empire.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
You know? And what I loved about sitting around that table every week was everyone was trying to grow their own empire. Again, you know, find their smallest viable audience, find their clients and work through all those challenges that we all work through.
Yeah.
That really helped me reflect on my own business every single week, because I had to stand up and I had to talk about my business.
Yeah.
And a lot of I'll call the trainees out, they default to what I've done this week instead of talking about the business, which is absolutely fine because that exemplifies what they do.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it was about reflecting on what I was doing on the business, in the business, and reporting that and how we could do that and how that benefited people in that room.
So it sounds like you've unpacked a lot from your time in B&I, and now 100%. You're not just, you know, a leader in the group, you're a consultant there. So you're running, you're growing groups.
Yes.
And you're now sharing that information with everyone as well.
Absolutely. I also I have another role as well. I'm a director consultant mentor.
Okay.
So I look after, I work with a couple of director consultants, the whole team in Dunedin, and a couple more locally here, and just to be their sounding board, to mentor them when they're getting a little bit stuck on their groups as well. So that's a really fun role. I really enjoy that.
What are some of the challenges that B&I has? Like, we've talked about the good stuff. What are some of the challenges you see it having?
So what are the challenges that human business owners face, Scott?
Yeah.
That's what they face.
True. Actually, a great point. And what are they facing right now? Because as I said before, we're in a time, high inflation, interest rates going up, there's pressures on, there's a lot of pressure on business owners, there's a lot of pressure on consumers.
Yeah.
So what are you hearing? What are they facing?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of fear out there.
Yep.
There's really looking at this expenditure.
Yeah.
So are they, you know, getting bang for their buck from B&I or digital services or, you know, advertising or whatever that is, they're really looking at how we can best maximize that.
Yeah.
And that brings a little bit of fear into the room with them. So they're carrying that. There's a little bit of urgency around getting more clients.
Yeah.
And this is not everyone, because not two people are in the same situation in their business or in their life.
Yeah.
You know, if I go back to Blue Summit, we came into the COVID, you know, roller coaster feeling pretty okay.
Yeah.
Because it was just the next thing we had to deal with.
Yeah.
Because we'd been started in the GFC. Had our downturn.
The same sort of thing.
So everyone's in their own different cycle. There is some fear out there. There is concern. There is definitely I can't quite get the words for this, consolidation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we consolidate without ruining what we've got?
Yeah. It's ruined. Like I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to be around some businesses that, you know, we've grown one from a 10% market share to over 50% market share. Mm-hmm. And people look at that and go, oh, that's great. But I'm like, hang on, that was in the bad times.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And we've grown through that. And we've seen so many of our customers now have grown through. And the one thing I will say that they have in common, and interesting you say that fear, they are fearless.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are fearless in tough times.
Yep.
And if you can be fearless in tough times and you can do the right things where you can, you know, consolidate what you've got to consolidate, but be fearless.
Yes.
You will come out the other side of it stronger.
Yeah.
And your business will grow. But not only will your business grow, your mindset will grow. Your ability to actually transact because of your confidence will grow as well.
Yeah.
It's hard at the time.
Yep, it is very hard. And you're right. And that's at the end of 2017, Michael and I literally sat down and said, do we want to keep doing this?
Mm.
Or should we just go and get jobs?
Yeah.
And at that point, probably no one would have blamed us or, if we wound it all down and got out. But we said no.
Yeah.
We enjoy this life. We enjoy working together.
Yeah.
We enjoy what we're doing. And we believe so strongly in what we're trying to provide to our clients. So let's keep going.
Yeah.
Now that took that fearlessness, Scott.
Yeah.
It really did. Because
there
was a lot we didn't know.
Yeah, but you believed in what you were doing to help your clients.
Absolutely.
So that is a mindset. And also, so let's talk about mindset then, because that is a big mindset. Like you could have easily gone, you know what, we're going to go back. Because I fully believe what we're going to see right now, what we're seeing play out, people will either flight, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'll fight mm-hmm. or they'll freeze.
I think
freezing is the worst thing you can do. The flight as well, they were always going to flight, right? But if you're a fighter, you know, like you're going to go through some ups and downs and you're going to get hit a bit.
Yes.
But you want to come out the other side.
Yes.
I fully believe that's playing out right now.
Yes.
You would have had those things going through your head in 2017. What made you choose to fight?
I think a couple of things. I didn't want, I choose to be a mum first.
Yep.
No one else is going to do that job.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
Very
so
cool.
How can I be the best mum I can be?
Yep.
And that for me was, okay, we need to run a business so I can have that flexibility.
Totally. Cool.
The next was belief in it could be done better. That Scott, the building client, deserved better than what was out there and we could be a part of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're the builder for everyone.
No.
But definitely be a part of that. And also, we really felt like there was unfinished business.
Mm.
So in 2017, we were fortunate enough to go away on a trip, one of those wonderful junkets with lots of other builders.
Yep.
We met some real well-known names around Christchurch, stalwarts of the industry, and they were really generous with their time, but we were going through hell.
Yeah. Wow.
We didn't say it at the time.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, we went on another trip and a lot of them were there. And I thanked them.
Cool.
them. At the bar at very late in the morning when I should have gone left to my room, but we went right for just one more. And I said, this is what was going on for us in 2017, guys.
Cool.
And I just really want to thank you because you didn't even know, but you've helped us. And that's why I've got consistency written here, Scott, because that's what I learned from them.
Yeah.
Be consistent. Do what you do best.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was amazing. And then they went in to tell their horror stories. Of times possibly much worse than what we were going through.
Yeah.
But it's all equal. It's all equivalent at the time.
So good.
Yeah. So it was all around that mindset and consistency about doing what you do best and finding what you knew best.
Yeah.
And part of that 2018 was we got some accounting training.
All right.
We got an accountant to come in and sit and talk to us and give us some better structure and give us some ways to get money into the bank and stay in the bank and understand what was going on. Because we knew what we didn't know. We knew where our weaknesses were. We just had to get the support with them.
My business changed when I learned that financial side and how to structure the money.
Yes.
And where to put the money and how to get the money to work for you.
Yes.
I think that is one thing. If you're going to grow a business, learn the money. There's a great book called Profit First.
Yes.
It's a great place to start.
Yeah.
You know, like learning about that is so key.
100%.
It's not your money.
No.
When I first started my first business, I was like, oh, I'm rich. I've got all this money, but it's not my money. And you know, you learn that, right?
Yeah. But that's a trick for young players.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
If someone could teach, that's one of the things I'm going to do a podcast next week about some of the things I've learned in business. That is like number five is it's not your money.
No.
Structure that this way.
Yes, you absolutely. Know? Absolutely.
That's very cool. It's good that you like pay to like go faster too. You're like, you need to learn something.
Yes.
So you prepare to get someone in, get the job done, learn what they know. I would say employ your weakness, and you know, that's what you've done. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What else have you learned from a mindset perspective?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. It's been certainly a journey, and I try not to use that word too much.
Yeah.
And let me go to this. Let me go to a book straight away.
Yep.
So there's a book that I read about 6 or 8 months ago called Driven by Douglas Brackman.
Mm-hmm.
And that book allowed me to finally understand what I am.
Cool.
Of all the books that I've read, and I'll tell you many more that I really like, and they were kind of along the way for that search for me.
Yep.
And Driven has let me understand that I am a driven person.
Nice.
And often driven people get labelled with things like ADHD, ADD, OCD.
Yeah.
but they have this go about them. And you know what I'm talking
totally.
About. Yeah. So that allowed me to understand what I am.
Mm.
And I specifically say what, not who. If you read the book, you'll understand the why.
Yep.
And from that, it was around that time that I was also diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, Scott.
Okay.
So your adrenal glands release your cortisol, your fight, flight, or freeze.
Yep.
And basically my adrenal tap had been turned on.
Mm.
And as I dug into it, probably been turned on for a good 20 plus years.
Uh-huh.
So that led to a very, you know, low energy, low confidence, high exhaustion, Miranda.
Yep.
And so what I've learned in that last 8 months has been so important.
Wow.
Instead of driving hard all the time, which I know I can do and get the results, actually being quiet.
Nice.
Slowing down, finding quiet in my life has been really key. Now, journaling. People talk about journaling in different ways. They do it daily. They have their ritual, or that I couldn't journal because, you know, that's too scary. But I journal when I feel I need it.
Yep.
When what is in my head doesn't need to come out my mouth.
Nice. Very good.
Right? And then it's down, it's locked in my little black book, and it doesn't matter. It, you know, we're never going to have a memoir or a movie of the week
named
Miranda Napton, I don't think.
There's a book called The Green Light by, what's his name?
Green Light's Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm reading it right now.
Very good.
I'm reading it right now. So that's really good. I walk barefoot on the earth every day.
Nice.
Just to connect with nature, because I know that that is best for me and satiating for me.
Yeah.
Water is also great for me.
Nice.
So whether it is cold showers or cold swimming or warm swimming when I'm in Australia, that's great. I also do 3 minutes of yogic breathing twice a day.
Wow.
It's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning.
Nice.
And that is in through the nose, out through the nose. Big belly breathing and really slow. So for me, that's about 21 breaths.
Nice.
I don't set the timer. I know that seven breaths in a minute is kind of where I'm at, and really slow. And that allows me to understand my mind from there and not let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
All these things that are going on and away. So that works for me.
That kind of gets you in peak state, right?
Yeah. And I also then straight after that, I set my intention for who I want to be for that day.
Nice.
Right. I need to be present and available. I need to be in tune.
Yeah.
I need to be whimsical and free, you know, whatever that kind of, whatever's coming up in that day.
That's cool. And you got all that from that book? Like that was, or was that part
of it? No, this is, it kind of, I dug into these things.
Into it.
Yeah, and found probably there's about 16 one percenters that I've got, Scott, that have helped me move from that driven person who was a slave to my driven nature, I suppose, that led me to adrenal fatigue, I believe. And then how did I get out of that? How am I going to, what am I going to undo and unpack and shift in my own behavior to become the next version of me?
That's awesome. Like there's a saying by a guy called Jim Rohn, work harder on yourself than you do on your job.
Yeah.
And the day that I really understood that, it was about working on your mind and who you are and how you turn up. And I can see that's the journey you've gone on.
Yes.
You've worked harder on yourself.
Yes.
than you do in the whacking and the cracking of what you do. Because yes. in here, and how you show up is so important, right? Yes. And unless you work on that, nothing is going to change.
No.
Unless you change this inside your head and you find some tools that you can use, then nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Hey, Miranda, this has been a fascinating chat. And look, I know we'd nearly be going an hour, so we probably have to wrap it up. But I want to go to, because I'm going to get you back, because I want to talk about mindset more. Okay. I think you've got a great... I'm pretty sure you've got some more to give when it comes to mindset. But what I want to do, and I'll put you on the spot, right?
Yeah.
I'm brand new.
Yes.
Because we've talked about, hey, what's happening in the economy and stuff. You're brand new.
Yes.
Going in, you meet someone who's brand new, starting a business, and you drop them in B&I.
Yes.
What are the five things that you tell them to be successful in that group?
Yep. First of all, be authentically yourself.
Okay.
Don't be that guy or that girl because they're taken.
Yep.
Okay, so be authentically you.
Cool.
That's going to take a little bit of, you know, quiet to work out who that is.
Yeah.
Don't worry about getting it wrong, because everyone gets it wrong sometime. Even the most polished performers on whatever social channels you're watching get it wrong.
You should see the blooper reel.
Right? The B-roll's great.
Yeah.
Probably tells more about them.
Yeah.
Find a partner, whether that is a business partner to be in, whether it is a coach to support you, whether it's a mentor, or whether it is an accountability buddy.
Nice.
Find someone to get outside of yourself.
Cool.
Because that will hurt.
Yeah.
Running a business by yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Give without the expectation to receive. Give your time, give your expertise, give your referrals, give your knowledge. And don't expect it back, because if you give it, it will come back threefold.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever heard that. I thought the guy was talking, like, it was 2004. I'd been at the World Internet Summit. Mm-hmm. He said, Scott, just give more than other people. And I went, oh, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I just want some money. And he said, no, I'm living proof. And to the day, I remember that advice. And that's why influencer education.
Yeah.
Give.
Absolutely.
Just give first.
Give. Yeah, give. Because it doesn't hurt. It will come back in ways that you can never, ever anticipate.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fifth one, Scott, don't prejudge it.
Yeah.
Don't prejudge what that client's going to say.
Yeah.
Don't prejudge how nervous you're going to be in that room. Don't prejudge from what Bob, Jane, or Mary said about that thing, or B&I. You know, hit me up.
Yeah.
Hit Miranda up. I'd love to help you into the chapter, but... You know, don't prejudge a situation.
Yeah,
I think
it's really being with a willingness to just go there, open mind, and learn from your own experience, not someone else's.
No, absolutely.
Learn from your
own
experience.
Got their slant on it. They've got their
They got their story.
100%. You have your own. So create that. Find that.
That's great advice. Yeah. Awesome. There's five great tips there. You know, so Miranda, where can people get hold of you if someone wants to join B&I, or if someone wants to go and coach?
Yeah.
You know, where do they go?
Yeah, I think for the coaching, definitely hit me up on Instagram or LinkedIn.
Yep.
My Instagram handle is mirandanapton.now.
Cool.
So hit me up there. I'm currently doing a 100 days of social media challenge.
Brilliant.
Which is really pushing me outside my comfort zone. So join me there, or hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect with you. Either of those will then get you to either the coaching Miranda or the B&I Miranda, but she's just really one person. She's
brilliant.
Right here.
Awesome. Hey, this has been fantastic. Thanks for coming on the Marketing Business Podcast.
No worries.
It's been great having you on here. Looking forward. We've got some great new episodes coming up, so stay tuned. Thanks for your time, and have a great day. Hi, Scott Wilson here again. Hey, thanks for listening to the Marketing for Business Podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen, and we hope that you learned a lot from today's episode. If you could be so kind as to rate and share the podcast with your other business friends and colleagues, that'd be awesome. And if you'd like to listen to more episodes, why don't you head over to our website, www.getdigitalinfluence.com, where we've got a whole bunch of other amazing interviews with business owners. Thanks for your time, and have a great day.